Well, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, that's where we're going to be tonight. John chapter 15. Doesn't usually take me this long. A new setting must be. Well, I just thought before I begin to preach, I just like to give you a little. Sometimes you use the expression commercial. Maybe you have seen out on your bulletin board, this poster says Prophecy Conference, Portfield Baptist Church, and that is October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And you may wonder, well, who is the pastor at Portfield Baptist Church? Well, I want you to know right now you're looking right at the guy. I'm the guy right here. We would just like to welcome you especially. I just maybe say just a few more things. Sometimes, you know, life keeps going on. And I was a young pastor once. Would you believe that? I really was young once. And it seems as if I kept getting a little older, a little older, a little older. And now I find myself the oldest active pastor in what was the Tri-County Fellowship, which is great. I just also like to tell you, on the Friday night, there's a 6 o'clock a fellowship meal. You bring your dish to pass. Do you remember what the Tri-County used to be? And they had meals, and we've been to this church lots of times in the past. That's the way we're running it. So I'm looking forward to 150, but I would really like 200. I don't know if I got quite enough faith to say, well, hope to have 200, but we're going to set up for 150. And we'd like you to be a part of it. I wish I could maybe come to all the churches we sent out and invited and talk to them a little, but I know the pastors, and so we're looking forward to that great thing. We have had the opportunity of pastoring in three churches in Tri-County Fellowship, and they are Faith Baptist Church in Little Valley, First Baptist Belmont, and then Farmersville Station Baptist Church. And then we began a sort of an interim ministry. The first interim was in Great Valley Baptist Church. I'm really concerned about churches of this fellowship. I would rather preach here than any place else. And by the way, we prayed for you before you got a good pastor. We've met your pastor on several occasions. I'm really glad for him being here and you here. Thank you for your good attendance tonight. As I came in here and I looked up the ceiling, I wasn't sure whether this is the original ceiling or not. I thought it looked too new to be original. Come to find out it's not the ceiling that used to be in here. And you've done a great job. It's great to keep God's house up in good repair. Well, when I entered the, and I'll get to preaching before too long, don't you worry. When I came to Great Valley Baptist Church's interim, they had someone that has been there for a year. He was 83 years old and just came a little bit too much, and so I stepped in to become the interim. And wouldn't you know it, it was one of the shortest interims in all-time history, I guess, about 3 months, and they had a new pastor. And so then I was out, didn't have any place to preach for about 2 months. And so I said that if word gets out that you call me and I'm only there 3 months and you get a pastor, everybody will want me as their interim pastor. But you know what? The Lord works in different. We have been interim pastor in Portville Baptist Church roughly the first year for 4 years. So I'm not sure how that all works out, except I do know this. We like the people and the people like us, and I say, I'm not sure what else you need beyond that, as long as you're preaching the word and trying to serve the Lord. So that's where we are, and I just thought I'd give you a little introduction. This is my wife. If some of you remember Tri-County for over the past year, she was very active in the ladies' missionary group and all kinds of things, and she still does all kinds of things. And we are having a good ministry. We like it there, but we're also very glad to be able to be here and share with you tonight from John chapter 15. And so that's what we're going to do. But let's ask the Lord to bless us first, shall we? Dear Lord, I thank you for this good day, and I want to thank you for this great text in the Bible, John chapter 15, abiding in Christ and fruit-bearing, and Lord, all the great subjects that are here, I pray that you'd help me to rightly divide this truth, and may it be a blessing to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Notice the text says in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am a true vine, and my Father is the husband. When you think about Jesus Christ, he is the true vine. It's absolutely necessary for the branches to abide in him. Like, for example, your fingers. If they get too close to a chainsaw and it gets off, that finger is no good. It's only attached to the hand and the arm and all of that. So we must be attached spiritually to the one who is the true vine. There are also a couple other places, like in John 1:9, where Christ says he's the true light. The true light. And every man needs that light. In John 6:32, he says he's the true bread. And if you eat of him, you'll be nourished and meet your spiritual need. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you think about that, unless you have the truth, you don't really have anything. You absolutely must have the truth. In John 8:32, it also says ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said that his disciples continued in his word, and we want to do that. Now, you know that in businesses and in life, a lot of businesses that do well have good management. And if you don't have good management, things kind of get a little bit slack a little bit. Business slacks off a little bit, and then you make less profit, and so you can't maybe mow the grass if it has grass out front, and you maybe don't always get the floors quite clean if it's a restaurant anymore, and first thing it goes down. Well, I want you to know that the one who keeps the vine is the number one. You couldn't have any better than God himself to take care of you. And as we think about that, he says, my Father is the husbandman or the farmer, whatever words you want to say. He's the one that takes care of the vine. When you think about that, he cares about each branch. Don't ever think that somehow you are relegated to some unimportant place and you don't really matter, you know, as maybe somebody else seems to matter more. But no, you all matter. You're all important to God. And so he cares for you. He cares for you with watchfulness. He cares for you with protection. And he cares for you with faithfulness as well. And you need all of those. And when you have such a one as that watching over you, wow, that's great. That's great. Now, notice he says in verse 2, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And so as we think about that, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I want to speak about the grapevine itself and thinking in relationship to that. Grape branches bear not fruit because of excessive, for three things. Excessive foliage. Did you ever maybe have tomatoes growing in your garden, if you have a garden? If you don't, I hope you do have a garden. It's a great thing to have. Anyways. And you have all these vines and all these things on it, but no tomatoes. A tomato isn't... It's not made to be a shrub, you know, just shrubs are there. Tomatoes you plant to get tomatoes, nice thick pieces to put on top of a nice grilled hamburger, nice and thick. He mentions here that if there's too much foliage, you don't get the growth into the fruit. Also, the grapevine does not do well if it has diseases. You know, we do gardening and have done it for a number of years and a number of outside other things. We make maple syrup and cut firewood and all those kind of things. I'm not sure exactly why, except I like doing it, And I find is if I keep doing exercise, I keep doing better, so that's what I want to do. But anyways, disease. And just think in heaven, no one will be there with Roundup spraying anything. No Roundup in heaven. Why? Weeds are part of the curse. No curse in heaven. And also, the grapevine may cease to bear fruit because of old age. It's lived out its expectancy. But you haven't lived out your expectancy because you're still here. And so we got to keep going in serving the Lord. Now, as it says also there, and every branch that beareth not fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, what it means by purging? Probably a couple thoughts. Some people might think it means like pruning. And I was talking to our relief mail carrier the other day, and she was telling me about pruning apple trees and so on. The ones, branches that go up, those are the ones you don't want. Cut them off, the flat ones you leave. She was telling me this. But it also means, and partly this is more in keeping of grapes maybe grown in the Middle East area and probably grown maybe not so much today, because nowadays everything that grows, we just cover it with sprays for this and sprays for that and on it goes. But in those days, it may mean that he lifts up those branches and cleans them off of moss and mildew and maybe bug residue and that kind of thing, just kind of cleans them up. That's what the Lord does in my life and yours as well. We just need some cleaning up. Remember, Peter was talking, Jesus mentioned about washing his feet, and Peter said, I need it all over. And Jesus said, no, you don't, because you're already saved. But as they walked on those dirty roads in the Bible days, their feet would get dusty and dirty, and so they would wash their feet, need washing. And so in your life and mine, we need our feet washed from contaminations that come in our life, maybe from whatever source it might be. So every branch, he purges it. Why does he purge it? He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. When you think about growing something, you never plant corn or whatever it is and saying, I hope this year I have less than last year. If anybody tells you that, you need to ask them several other questions about certain things and find out what's going on. You don't plant something to have less than the year before. You plant something with the idea that it's going to be a really, really good year. Good year. And so Christ is interested that my life bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. And what he has to adjust and what he has to do in my life for that purpose is always great, because fruit bearing is joyful living. Fruit bearing is joyful living. It's good for you. It's good for me. Well, notice he goes on to say in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Ye are clean through the word. The cleanness of this verse is in reference to the saints standing before the Lord. When you get saved, your standing or your position is righteous in him. We are to be progressing in knowledge, however, and growing beyond that point too. But that's our standing. I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. And you are too. That's your standing. Tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We notice that in verse 4, and this is a key word in this passage. It's a great word. It's the word abide. Abide means maintenance of fellowship. Maintenance of fellowship with God through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. I have been a pastor for 43 years, about 38 years. I've lived in parsonages, but we no longer live in a parsonage. We have our own home. We bought a home that was repossessed, and I knew it needed some work, but as I got into it, it needed a lot more than I thought. I've heard one contractor say when he came to estimate, people, you know, said, we want this window put in, and he said, figure double the cost and double the work, because, you know, you take that window out and there's something rotted, you got to fix under there, and then you look over that and it's, oh, but then now the other window looks really poor, I guess I'll put one over here. So I hope that doesn't discourage you if you got some projects you want to do. Go for it anyways. But anyways, so maintenance of fellowship. Maintenance of fellowship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. To abide calls for a continual alertness, They say that there's always something more that can be done around a home. I am kind of got over the major parts of things that I'm looking forward to not doing so much. But I think there are, that's true, there's always something that could be done, something maybe or really important that needs done. So you have to be alert to what may be happening. And so when we think about this matter of abiding, it means alertness that Christ is the occupation of my heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so to abide takes vigilance, alertness, that we're staying on course with him. We want to be there with him. Also, when we think about taking heed to fellowship, then fruit will grow. Fruit will grow. You know, it's the apple season right now, and every orchard keeper is out there picking those fruits. And when you think about your life, think about, am I a fruit-bearing Christian? And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And we want to be fruit-bearing Christians. We notice then, as he says in verse 5, I am the vine, Christ is speaking, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Let's see, maybe 3 weeks ago or so, my wife is from the Watkins Glen area, and she grew up where there are vineyards, and so sometimes we go back there, and we did this year and pick grapes, and out of that ground comes this brown vine that's maybe 1 to 2 inches in diameter, maybe 3 inches, and that goes down into the ground, and from that come off the branches, and then the grapes are there tucked under those leaves, and you go to pick those Concord grapes or Niagara's or whatever they are. Well, he says, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye, you Christians, are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. When we think about this, this speaks of our assurance in him. We trust Christ to be our all-sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, our sufficiency is of God. Now, I want to comment about this part here where it says, for without me ye can do nothing. The temptation in thinking is, well, I could do some things. As I say in our church, and I don't know why it's always this way, but you hear people say, well, I help little old ladies across the street. I don't know why they don't say little old men across the street, but it seems like always help little old ladies. You could help little old ladies across the street if you can walk across the street yourself, of course, you know. But it means, without me, you can do nothing. Saints not walking in fellowship with Christ can do nothing spiritually profitable. Spiritually profitable, in that sense, profitable. And we want to do things spiritually profitable. Profitable for God and also they'll be a blessing to us as well. Now he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. So when we see verse 6, we have a little bit of fear and apprehension. Now, this doesn't sound quite so good about branches being burned and stuff. That doesn't sound too great. Well, what does all that mean? Well, notice as he says again in the text, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Well, keep in mind when the men come to prune the grapes and they have their loppers and they cut that branch off, it lays there, that branch is a goner. It's just going to keep withering, and then they would gather them and burn them at some later time. Well, you know how it is when you go out to cut trees like I do. Well, we have some woods and cut wood on some other places. When you cut those smaller branches off, that's it. They are separated from the tree. They're not going to grow. They're just going to dry out, which is, of course, what I want because I'm burning them for firewood. Now, when we think about this, the casting forth of the branch and withering is like a person who fails to use opportunities in serving the Lord. Opportunities in serving the Lord. When we think about that, I think about Matthew 5, and you might want to turn over there for just a real quick amount, but it's Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and here's what you read in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says this, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. So he says, when saltiness loses its saltiness, what is it good for? He goes on to say, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I was a student many years ago in Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. And my mother came to stay with us for a little bit of time one time, and she liked to go, some of you may know that area where Viewmont Mall is up high by the Scranton-Carbondale area, and look down and see those lights of that city looked up. It looked real nice to her, and she would like to do that. Well, so a city set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, we see those lights wherever they may be. And also it says, neither do men light a candle and put a bushel under it. So when you light a candle in your dining room, maybe for a candlelight meal, you don't put something over there to block that light out. You want that light to shine. And so it says here, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light, the light of your life, that's what it's referring to. Yet let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and pat you on the back. Nice. That's not what the text says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is. And so, in other words, they'll say, this is a man of God. This is a woman of God. The way they act, it has to be God in them. It's a God thing in them that makes them this way. And that's exactly who we want to get the credit, God. We want him to get the credit. Because after all, he's the one to save you by his grace. He's the one that keeps you as well. And so we are to remember that. And so we don't want to fail to use opportunities that God may give to us. And by the way, if you don't have opportunities, you and I both, we need to pray that God will give us opportunities. And look around. There will be something that you can do this week. If you're praying for an opportunity and you don't know one, I'm sure something's going to turn up. And maybe you'll come back next week and tell other people whatever that might have been. We also are reminded of what it says in 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not of the things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. God promises rewards for faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he does that. And we don't want to get a small reward if we could get a big reward. Lose not. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Excuse me. Now back to the withered branch. What would that symbolize? Well, do you know the next prophetic thing on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. When is that going to happen? Maybe in the next 10 seconds or 10 minutes or a day or a week or a month. We don't know. But God is going to take the church home to be with in heaven. And when the church is taken home, believers worldwide, there's going to be a meeting there. And in that meeting, it's called the Believer's Judgment Seat of Christ, when God will review your life to give out rewards. Is that going to be a private or public? I don't really know. I'm hoping I have a private setting with the Lord. Now, maybe you wouldn't mind everything about your life all displayed before. Well, you might get your wish, and maybe I'll get my wish. I don't know how it's going to be. Maybe all of Allegheny Baptist Church is coming in one time. Maybe all of Portville Baptist Church is coming in one time. I'm not sure how it's going to be, but in some way. And God is going to review your life, not to find out what was wrong, but he's going to review your life to find out what you did, honoring to him that he can thank and praise you and give you a reward for. So it tells us, remember there, that there are two different types of building materials. There's the gold, silver, and precious stones, and then there's the wood, hay, and stubble. The wood, hay, and stubble speaks about lesser important things or valuable things, and it tells us here that when a man's or woman's life is reviewed and God looks through their life and he finds little or nothing he can reward them for, then all these works are all burned up. He does not lose his salvation. She does not lose her salvation. But she has nothing to give back to the Lord, because I think that's what's going to happen is when we get these rewards, someday we're going to turn back and say, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't earn any of them. If it wasn't for you prompting me, directing me, leading me, it would have never happened. And so I want to give them back to you. Have you ever been to a birthday party? Maybe as a kid. How would you feel if this boy or this girl has a birthday party and this person brought a present, that person brought a present, other person, but you didn't have any? You'd feel bad, wouldn't you? How will I feel if I could have given a reward back to the Lord, but because I just didn't get with it, I don't have the reward? How would I feel if I had no crown, as the scripture talks about, to give back to him, when I could have? Now, going further, it says in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. One of the great things in our age in which we're living is communication. And people are communicating with people all the time. I say sometimes in our church, I'm not one of these type of people, but, you know, you see this guy walking in Walmart and he's got to call his wife. Well, what shelf is that on, wife? You know, all this. And some people can hardly move unless somebody's talking to them or texting them or whatever. But I guess if that's your style, that's all right too. But we have a communication line with the Lord. When you get saved, that's not the last phone call the Lord wants to hear from you. We can dial 1-800-HEAVEN 24/7 around the world. 1-800-HEAVEN gets you right in touch. And so it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. You see, prayer is directed by fellowship in the Word, by what we learn in the Bible. Helps us to know about what to pray for and how to pray and what is the properness, maybe we could use that word, prayer. I don't mean you need to be perfect to pray. I know we have some in our church that don't like to pray out loud. you know, maybe in a prayer group. Well, if that's been your case, and I have no idea whether it's yours or not, then just remember you're just talking to the Lord, and you just do it as you were talking to him, and he'll hear and understand. Well, anyways, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, I said, now, wait a minute, hold it. It says, you shall ask what ye will. Well, it seems to me, not too long ago, where we live, we get a lot of snow on our road. It seems to me that I should have got my favorite tractor, the kind, and not some other one. Don't you think so? Well, my favorite kind is the JD kind. If you don't know what that stands for, I'll talk to you later. But I don't have a JD. I have an Alice Chalmers. But it was my wife's brother's, and he'd done a lot of work on it, fixed it up, made a bucket for me, and everything else, and so on. So for what I'm doing, it's adequate. It's all paid for, no payments, none of that kind of stuff. It's all there. So my asking for something new, I'd still be paying on it, and maybe for quite a while. So what it means is this. Christians whose life is regulated by the Bible, they ask what the Lord's will is. What's your plan, Lord? What would you like? He may have said, well, a snowblower would do you just fine at a lot less cost. I'm glad he didn't say just a shovel will do the job. The shovel would do the job. But who pushes a lawnmower anymore? Not too many people. Most everybody has a rider, unless your lawn is 9x12. Or something like that. It's probably most everybody has a rider, you know. But what is God's will? That's the thought here. Desiring only God's will, that his will be done. We come to verse 8, and here's what we read. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Who do we really want to be glorified or honored? And to be magnified, it's the Lord. We want him to be magnified. And so it says that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So God is glorified when your life and my life produces much fruit. He gets a lot of glory from that. He says, so shall be my disciples. You know what the word disciples means? It means a follower and a learner. A follower and a learner. How long do you need to be a follower and learner? Only as long as you're living. That's all. Only as long as you're living. We're to be a follower and learner of the Lord. His disciples are to bear much fruit. This gives an evidence that they really do belong to the Lord. When we think about fruit, maybe three things quickly we would mention about fruit. There's a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's a fruit of salvation of souls. Remember Paul wanted to go to Rome, that he says that he might have some fruit there as well. And so he was concerned about a ministry at Rome, that he might have some fruit there. It also tells us in Colossians 1, verse 10, being fruitful in every good work. Verse 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. We must continue in the unchangeable love of our Savior. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, Romans chapter 8 says nothing. So tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, and a whole list of things. Shall any of those separate you as a believer from the love of Christ? Will that sever it? It does not. It does not. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And then we notice in verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his law. Fellowship with the Father is certain if we keep Christ's commands. In 1 John 2:6 it says this, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself to walk even as he walked." And so as we think about this abiding, it says, then that makes me an obedient walker with the Lord. It also talks about Christ keeping his commands, the Father's commands, which he certainly did perfectly. And then verse 11 is probably the concluding verse of this section here about abiding and spiritual fruit. It says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And so notice he says these things. What are the these things? Probably verses 1 through 11, the whole passage there. "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Well, what kind of a life does the Lord really want us to have? He wants us to have a joyful life. He also says that your joy may be full. May be full. You know, you hear the advertisement like a full cup of coffee, if you're a coffee drinker. One of the things that we do around our house and did just yesterday, we took some apples to a friend's and pressed, so we have some cider. And it's really good and all that. And, you know, well, you wouldn't want just a little glass full, would you? Especially with a donut. Wouldn't you like a nice full glass of nice cold cider? You'd say, "I'll take it right now, Pastor. You'd have to come to my house because I don't have it with me." But he talks about there, about that your joy might be full. Might be full. That's what he wants. And so, Christ is the vine. We're the branches. And our all-wise Heavenly Father is the farm manager who manages your life and my life. Why? So that I may bring forth fruit for his honor and for his glory. Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word from this passage. I pray that it may have been challenging and helpful and a blessing to us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.